Welcome, brothers and sisters, to our 18th Northeast Christian Conference. This is the 18th time. And I hope you have your Bibles with you. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we'll read from verse 30. It is right after the Lord and His disciples, they had their last supper together. And in verse 30, and when they have sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will gather. And let's pay attention to verse 32. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And now let's turn to the last chapter of the book of Matthew, chapter 28. We'll read verse 1. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. And so they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had pointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. That's all we will read for now. Now, I was meditating before the Lord. This passage, these few verses we read, has such an impact on me. Brothers and sisters, do you know that you are here this evening not by chance? None of us are here this evening by chance. All of us, each one of us, were here by divine appointment. Now, if you go into the Old Testament, particularly the first five books of Moses, You recall when they came out of Egypt. We are all very familiar with the giving of the law. We are very familiar. And some are familiar with the giving of the mount, or giving of the pattern for the tabernacle. You know, from chapter 25 onward, it's all about the tabernacle. But do you know there's one thing that the law instructed the Israelites that they should, what they should do once they enter into Canaan? That is to hold convocations. They should hold the feast of Jehovah. Now, if you read Leviticus, at least there are six festivals besides Sabbath. They have to go to the place where it's appointed for them to meet the Lord at the appointed time. So you see, the purpose behind redemption is that God wants to gather people unto himself. His treasured possession is us to redeem. He wants to gain us all for himself. So before the cross, before his crucifixion, he said, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But he said, but behold, when I'm raised, I'll go before you to Galilee. Now, brothers and sisters, since the resurrection of Lord Jesus, his one mission on this earth is the gathering of his people so that he can be their literal head, so the fullness of the head had a vessel to express. And that's the testimony of the greatness of our God. And so this evening, this weekend, the theme is very, very timely. It's all about what God wants for himself, an expression of the fullness of his Son in his people. And when that is secure, God's heart is satisfied. God is glorified. We also are satisfied. So, brothers and sisters, at the outset, the Lord said, when I'm raised, I'll go before you in Galilee. So, the Lord was hinting, because at that evening, at that moment, the disciples were occupied with the uncertainty that's ahead of them. You recall the surrounding, the tension, the darkness that's surrounding that event. But the Lord gave a ray of hope. When I'm raised, I'll go before you to Galilee. That is the message that we need to hear. It's the regathering of God's people today on resurrection ground. On any other ground, we scatter, but on resurrection ground, he holds us together as our living head. There's no ground for us to meet other than the ground of his Christ crucified, but more than that, Christ glorified. That is a testimony of the church, and that is the ground for our gathering. Now, brothers and sisters, the Lord spoke, say, when I'm raised, I'll go before you to Galilee. That message is reinforced again by the angel. He said, go and tell his disciples that he is going before you to Galilee. There you'll see him. And the Lord said, also spoke to the sisters. He said, tell my brethren that I go before you, before them to Galilee. There they will see me. And when they obey, they went to the place that was appointed for them to meet the Lord. The Lord was there waiting for them. There they saw the Lord. They worshiped him. Now, brothers and sisters, this weekend, we are gathered here for no other reason. It's because the Lord, somehow he sees fit for us to gather this way. I believe the Lord wants to speak very much to our hearts. He wants to unveil what's in his heart to us, his people. I believe as we draw to the end of this age, we need a clear word from the Lord himself so that we can finish the last miles of our journey on earth. Every step that we take is related to what he wants, what he wants to secure for himself. And so we are very thankful that this week we have this privilege to be gathered here for these 2 days. Six messages. Now, brothers and sisters, as when I finish what I will share briefly this evening, We want to devote some time to prayer. Because divine treasure needs our seeking, needs our knocking, needs our asking. Anything that's of any value will require some cost on our part. So I believe our corporate prayer tonight is essential for the release of His Word to our hearts and for us to gain what Christ wants us to gain for this weekend. Now, I just want to share a little bit of our history. You remember, this is the 18th conference. And the first conference was in 1988. Okay. And now, as I look out to you, brothers and sisters, I wonder how many of you were here for that first conference. May I see your hands? Those who were here for that first conference. Not too many hands. Thank you. Not too many hands. That first conference was, in a way, a very costly conference. Because that afternoon, that first conference, the sky was darkened. There was outpouring of rain. I have no idea how to describe it. You know, when I talked to my wife on the way down here, I said, it is a very small scale of Katrina, a small scale of Rita. It looks as though I was the end of the world. Brothers and sisters get lost. They did not know where to go, where to turn. And brothers and sisters try to help them to find a way using a flashlight. And many of them get lost. And they came to this place, wet and soaked. And the whole place was just shaking up. But we will not deter by what I'm about, because we have set in our heart to seek the Lord. And the Lord opened His way. Now, I want to conclude my thought. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2. Okay. I want to just encourage your heart, chapter 2. It really came to me in a very strong way, chapter 2. You remember about the four men carrying that paralytic person? You remember that story, that account? Okay, let's just read those few verses. Chapter 2 of Mark. Okay. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Okay. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near, him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, what I'm trying to emphasize tonight, brothers and sisters, nothing is too costly if the Lord is there. Nothing is too costly for to draw nigh to Him. You think about that. If the Lord is there, nothing is too costly for us to fight through that obstacle to get to where He is. Now, this evening, I want to thank the Lord for bringing many of you to this conference. Those two brothers from Quebec, they drove almost 12 hours straight through. A brother and two sisters from Kentucky, they drove almost 14 hours. A couple, a brother and sister from Florida, they drove maybe 20 hours just to come to this conference. And when I heard that kind of news, it touched my heart deeply. So, brothers, nothing is costly. Nothing to cost if we know the Lord is there and He will be speaking to us. You know, one brother said, If I have to crawl, I'll crawl to His presence. If I have to crawl. And thank God we are brought here to this weekend. And let's look in faith with great expectation. The Lord Himself will meet us. Each one of us will see Him personally. Not just hearing the words, but seeing Him. Now, there are two thoughts I want to share before we go to prayer. Is that God's power is devoted, invested, committed toward the fulfilling of His own will. That's why His power operates. It's all in relationship to His will. That's what we find at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. All authority given to me. What? To fulfill God's will. Fulfill God's will. Now, brothers and sisters, we are on solid ground. Fullness of Christ is God's will for all of us. Fullness of Christ is for the church. It's not an option. It's God's will. Then when God achieved that, secured, we know He will be glorified. And we also will be glorified in Him. Now, when we pray that prayer, we know God will surely answer. And His power is committed to the fulfillment of that desire of God's heart, the fullness of Christ expressed in the people. So we are on solid ground. We can pray with faith, believing that His will be done. Because the theme of this conference is the fullness of Christ. It's fullness, right? Yes, positionally, yes, we are. But how about experimentally? Do we have it? It's promised, but do we possess it? Do we express it? That is the issue. Second thing to pray is, I was reminded by a brother through reading his book, Short Account of Biblical Characters. He said, in the Gospel, those who witness miracles, those who ask for miracles are oftentimes unbelieving people. You find that true? You find that true? So we are not looking for miracles. So this brother said the greatest miracle is not, how can I put it? The greatest power at work that God is doing is not just performing miracles so that we can see it and admire it. But we are untouched. But do you know, brothers and sisters, many people witness miracles and even experience miracles, but in their spirit they were not touched. Go to the Gospel. And this brother says, the greatest miracle is that when God, through the Holy Spirit, can soften our heart and cause our heart to respond to Him, he said, that is the greatest miracle. There's no greater miracle than for the Holy Spirit to soften our heart so that we can respond to God's heart. He said, that is the greatest miracle. And this, we need to pray. We are not here just to hear good messages. We are here, the Lord, to soften our heart. What He says, we respond so that God will have a way in us and through us for the accomplishing of His will. And so, brothers and sisters, this two principle is very vital. God's power is invested in His own will. His will be done. It is God's power. And the greatest miracle is that when our heart can be softened by the work of the Holy Spirit and can respond to the heart of God. That is the greatest miracle. So may the Lord help us. So, brothers and sisters, I just open my heart to you, cry my heart out to you. And so we have about 10, 15 minutes. And so this is all unite our hearts together and pray that His will be done. And we know His will is that we enter fully into all that is in the Lord Jesus. Fullness, not just experience, not just fullness possessed, but fullness expressed. That's a testimony. And also pray the Lord will soften our hearts. You know, some of us, we heard so much, we can be doctrinally hardened because we think we know. And nothing more can touch us. Nothing more can touch us. And when we, if we get to that kind of place, Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord have mercy on us. So pray the prayer. Whatever condition we're in, brothers, we all need the Lord to soften our heart and to respond to Him. Respond to His heart. That is the only way His will can be done in us and through us. So should we just have our next few minutes? Just open our hearts to the Lord and pray for this week. Pray for our speakers, Brother Stephen Kong, Dana Condon, Ernie Heil. And there are many brothers and sisters coming to this conference for the very first time, over 100 of them. They heard about this conference. They came all the brothers and sisters, because my wife and I, we are more or less in charge of registration. And we try to discourage them. We said, we have no other way but put you on your wedding list. They said, no way. We want to be there. You know what, brothers and sisters? When we heard that kind of a desire, that drive, you know, I choked. No cause is too great for me to be there. If the Lord is there speaking, I want to be there. And so may the Lord meet us this weekend. Meet us this weekend. We don't know we're going to have another one. Next year, we don't know. But we need to allow the Lord to secure all He wants in us this weekend. So shall we just have a time of prayer?